Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is right here on ESPN Upstate. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. How do you do? Great to be back with you on a Monday afternoon. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure, of course, exclusively mine. Back in the network studio, pushing buttons, switching switches, making the show sound as good as it does today. The great one and the prognosticator in chief, my man Lonzo, in charge of the broadcast. What's up, fella?
I've been aptly named about the prognosticating because I'm just awesome and stuff. Yeah, I got lucky. But we'll talk about that later. I am awesome, and it's so good to start another week with you, Rob Brown.
Aw, you're such a suck-up, and it works. So I accept it. Thank you.
Well, you know, I disagree with you. You only suck up to people where you would get an advantage from doing so. And, you know, I don't get an advantage. It's just
I love that your flattering response was, yeah, knowing you has no perks.
Well, there is that. I mean, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's how we're going to start it off. Good to be with you guys. I am happy to be back. I'm hoping it's not coming across terribly, though. But lost the voice over the weekend. It just came back today. I did a little music with some friends this weekend. Got together and jammed a little bit over the weekend with the guitars and it's been, oh goodness, it's probably been six, I don't know, 4 or 5 months since I legitimately did music. And I got to yesterday evening, and my voice was, it was just this. And I thought for a second today might pose some major problems. But I apologize if I sound a little bit more strained than normal. However, we're going to pull it together and have a heck of a show today.
It's not bad. I can hear it, and I heard it a little bit. I just figured that you were, stayed up too late or something. But I don't think people realize that that if you don't sing a lot and then you go back and do it, I mean, it's a muscle type thing. I mean, you strengthen your voice and then you're there and you can sing for hours and then you don't do it for 6 months and you go and do it. I suggest you try it on your way home at some point, not while listening to this program, but listen to music and scream at the top of your lungs the entire way home and see what kind of voice you have when you get there.
This, friends, right here, this is an entire pack of Vicks VapoCool Hydra Soothe Winter Frost flavored cough drops, which are likely going to be the only thing that get me through the entire
show. Just
do
not
today.
Click them through your don't click them on your teeth while you're talking, cuz
do
that,
you have
be annoying.
Do you have the visceral reaction to people making sounds with their mouth, like when people chew or they do the like glug 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 when they drink, etc.? Are you like me, where if you hear someone making mouth sounds while they are eating and drinking, you have a relatively violent reaction to it?
It bothers me unless I'm doing it. And the only time I'm doing it is on purpose to bother someone.
Yeah, like retribution is the only reason I do it. And then it's just over exaggerated, sarcastic. And I found, and I think we've talked about this in the past, but I have found that there are people who go to YouTube and they make videos of themselves eating into a microphone with the gain turned way up. So you just get that sound. And apparently to some people, that's like soothing and calming. And I'll never understand it because it makes me want to punch my laptop.
What? It's soothing and calming?
Yes. They call it...
Those people are in an asylum somewhere or something. There's no way that could be soothing and calming to someone.
Yes. It's called Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, ASMR. And traditionally, so it's supposed to be that quiet, settling sounds provoke a calming sense within your, I guess, sensory response systems. And ordinarily for people, it's like if you hear a calming whisper, someone gently talking to you. It's supposed to be soothing, but then people started turning into like chewing cheeseburgers and whatnot. And it's like a huge, like there are videos on YouTube that have millions and millions of views of people just chewing into a mic because other people say like it calms them down and helps them sleep. And we have a word for those people, Lonzo. It is psychopathic.
Yeah, that's a family you don't want to get invited to dinner to because here's what, while you're talking about it, I'm thinking about this. So what happened was there are no table manners taught at those households. And so they're used to hearing everybody chopping and chomping and food flying. So now they've moved away and they're no longer, you know, at that home. And so that's how they find comfort. It's got to be the only reason.
Ugh, gross. Hey, let's do that thing we do to start every show, Zoe. What do you say? Zoe says I have to click a button first. It is the lunch breakdown. The three things you have to know before you go take your lunch break and talk sports with your friends, family, coworkers, or the dog, whoever you spend your lunch break with. We run through all of them, and we start with item numero uno. It was the big news out of the National Football League this weekend. Matthew Stafford had spent his entire NFL career trying to rebuild the Detroit Lions franchise. It did not work. Jared Goff had spent his entire young franchise with the LA Rams trying to take them to the next level. It also did not work. Both of them will now be replacing each other. Matthew Stafford, the next quarterback of the LA Rams. Jared Goff, the next quarterback of the Detroit Lions. Just days after Stafford and the Lions had mutually agreed to part ways earlier in the week, with the team moving in a new direction under new GM Brad Holmes. Holmes built a deal with the Rams. Stafford moves into an offensive system that has been friendly to quarterbacks behind a much better offensive line than he had in Detroit. Jared Goff, who had just signed a four-year, $130 million contract extension after his third NFL season and will take a significant dead money hit onto the books for the Rams, he gets a deal as well. Goff will count for $22.2 million on LA's books in 2021 while he's playing in Detroit, while the Rams inherit the 2 years and $43 million remaining on Stafford's contract. One interesting and additional note to add about Stafford's contract is that it came from the Rams or from the NFL Network's Ian Rapoport. The expectation is that Stafford will not require a contract extension as part of his deal. He will play out the remaining 2 years for $34 million on his contract with the Rams. Stafford will count for $17.8 million on the Lions books in 2021, and Detroit will inherit the 4 years and $106.6 million remaining on Goff's deal. The Rams, after trading for Stafford, will now go for their seventh consecutive season without making a first-round pick. They traded their 2016 and 17 first to move up for Goff in the 2016 draft. They traded their 2018 first-rounder for wide receiver Brandon Cooks, their 2019 first-rounder for the to the Falcons for second and third round picks, and their 2020 and 2021 first rounders for the Jaguars for Jalen Ramsey. Stafford, of course, will end up costing them a couple of first rounders as well. Here's why I bring this up, Lonzo. We'll get into the winners and losers within that deal itself coming up in a little while. But what makes this interesting is two separate news stories, both of which connect with the Carolina Panthers. The first is that it was reported by Adam Schefter yesterday that the Carolina Panthers were one of the biggest players in the game for Matthew Stafford. Apparently, they had offered their number 8 overall pick and a couple of mid-round picks later on in the years in order to try to acquire Matt Stafford in order to save themselves some value in going after Deshaun Watson. Most people thought that Carolina would be the landing spot for Matt Stafford throughout the day, but the added value of getting a couple of first-rounders and Jared Goff, a guy that I think the Rams very much undervalued in this trade, was a much better deal for Detroit. But it does not shock me. Zo, you and I have been saying this for about a week and a half. Carolina was very much in play for Matt Stafford. Goff and Stafford just simply switched teams, which takes them both off the market. And now we're going to have to talk a little bit later, Zo, about whether that raises or drops the value of Deshaun Watson. I think it raises it. You just got two of the biggest names on the free agent market off the board, off the trade market, off the board for the Carolina Panthers, which means if they're going to go get one of the guys available, it's now Deshaun or bust. And I think the price for Deshaun Watson just went up because of this move.
Absolutely. And as far as winners, I mean, Stafford is going to a pretty good team, and we know he's a good quarterback. There are some people, even on the station, who don't believe so, and they're wrong. Matt Stafford is a good quarterback. He's going to a good team, and now he's got a chance to actually be in the playoffs and do some winning. As far as Jared Goff goes, he looked really bad last year. He absolutely did, and it's how quickly you can fall out of favor. One bad season, and boom, you're gone.
You know, I'm supposed to disagree with you in order to create conflict, but I can't because that's exactly right. I agree with you. I have said since I got here, that Matt Stafford was going to go down as the quarterback of all quarterbacks that had their prime wasted, but now he might just have a chance to succeed in L.A. We'll circle back around to that coming up in just a little while. Item numero dos, a huge win for the United States men's national soccer team. They took on Trinidad and Tobago yesterday in their first match of a pivotal 2021 for the team. January friendlies are always interesting because the teams are not nearly solidified. These are as much tryout exhibitions as they are anything else. And that's good news because the U.S. won easily 7-0. Over Trinidad and Tobago. The team dominated possession. They moved the ball well, set up a ton of scores and chances, and kept a high defensive line, which is not what I'm frankly used to, out of this squad. Mostly stayed in a 4-3-3 formation throughout the game. There were a couple of moments where they kind of rotated an extra defender forward into the attacking third and made it more of almost a 3-4-3 in some cases. But what I love is that your starting 11 for this game was very, very, very young, and some of the best available weren't even there. You had a guy that played in USL League One showed up and get an opportunity today. Tanner Tessman out of Dallas FC, their USL League One program. And what's really interesting about that, one thing that I absolutely love to see, you know who was in attendance for that game on Saturday, or excuse me, on Sunday night there, Lonzo?
I do not.
How about one Clemson head coach, Dabo Sweeney, in attendance for the U.S. men's national team? Tanner Tessman is his godson, and he was there in that Dallas jersey in order to support Tanner Tessman, which is great for your boy. As a huge soccer fan, as a guy who loves seeing the soccer culture grow around the upstate with the success of the Greenville Triumph, with the success of USL League One, and hopefully with the growing success of U.S. Men's National Soccer moving forward, to have Dabo Swinney out there at the U.S. Men's National Team game against Trinidad and Tobago, supporting the international roster, which he has a direct relationship with. I'm just saying, Clemson fans, Dabo's a soccer fan. Doesn't that by extension make you one now too? I think yes.
Really? Really?
I think yes.
That's what you're going with?
I said what I said, Lonzo.
I don't know. Doesn't Clemson normally have a decent soccer team? So maybe he's already a fan.
Here's hoping. I'm just saying. Now, we got to get our buddies over at the Triumph. We got to get Chris and Doug and Coach Hartson and everybody. I think we got to get Dabo and the Clemson Tiger football team to come on down the road and come to a Greenville Triumph match this season. Just saying. Just saying. And so tell me for a second, if Dabo was to start showing up at a Triumph match here and there, like they wouldn't fill up Legacy Early College in a heartbeat. If Dabo said, I'm a soccer guy, you should be a soccer guy too, tell me the Clemson fans wouldn't come in mass to come see the Triumph play.
Man, I'm going to stay away from what I could say about, you know, masses following men and things like it. But you're absolutely right. If Dabo said that, they would be there.
I set it up on a tee, and Zoe just walked back to the dugout. All right. Finally, item number three. We're going to talk about this later on in the show as well. Savannah Lee from the Brunswick News, our PGA Tour insider, is going to join us coming up at 1:20 this afternoon to talk about it. The Farmers Insurance Open, arguably the biggest golf tournament of the season so far, and Patrick Reed closed out with a 4-under 68 at Torrey Pines after carding an eagle on the par 5, 6, and finishing off a dominating Sunday with a birdie on 18th, would win the Farmers Insurance Open by 5 shots, the biggest margin in his 9 career PGA Tour victories. But it wasn't the W that put Patrick on the front page of ESPN.com this weekend. It was the controversy that arose on the par 4 10th. Reed hit a 190-yard shot out of a bunker with a TV replay showing the ball bouncing once before settling into the rough. Reed walked over and declared that the ball was embedded. If a ball is embedded, then you are allowed a drop. The drop has to be within one club length of where the ball was embedded, and it cannot be moved toward the hole. So there's a semicircle from where the ball is extending out parallel with the ball and then backwards one club length long, and you can drop anywhere in that zone. Well, Reed claimed that it was embedded, but then did not wait for a rules official to come give him a ruling. He simply pulled the ball up out of the ground, dropped, and made a run. Now, he claimed the ball was embedded, except for at least one witness told a rules official, a volunteer, said that he saw the ball bounce. He saw the ball bounce. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am a golfer. Not a good one, but a golfer nonetheless. And I can tell you, I have had many balls bounce into the rough. And even on the muddiest of courses, a ball that bounces even off of a cart path is not hitting the ground with enough velocity to embed itself. Am I calling Patrick Reed a liar? Yes. Yes, I am calling Patrick Reed a liar. I don't believe for a second that that ball was indeed embedded. I don't believe it was embedded. I think he got a bad lie. I think that he wanted a better lie, and that's why he didn't win. They asked him in the press conference afterwards, hey, man, if it was embedded, why did you not allow the rules officials to come over and take a look? And his response was, "Welp, I was worried about pace of play. I didn't want to back up the golf course. If I'm playing down at the local Muni, and me and Diesel and Kev and the little brother are playing a foursome, then I might do that and go, well, there's other guys out here that are trying to enjoy their Sunday. I'm not going to make them wait while I sit here and try to figure out how to play this shot. I'll drop it. But if there are millions of dollars on the line, if there are FedEx Cup points on the line, if there is a postseason in golf berth on the line, then you would better believe I'm going to wait right there, and I don't care if I got eight foursomes backed up behind me. I want to make sure that this was done the right way. And on top of that, Patrick Reed is a guy that has a history of being a cheater. He is a guy that has a history of this kind of crap happening. Heck, this isn't the first time in the last 8 months that this happened. Back in 2019, Reed was scrutinized for an infraction committed at the 2019 World Hero Challenge, where, while leading the tournament, he twice moved sand behind his ball in a waste area, improving his lie. Reed responded that he had not noticed the movement and cited his angle compared to that of the cameras for lack of realization. He ended up being penalized 2 strokes for improving his lie and received a ton of criticism. He also had a lot of drama that followed him around college at the same time. We'll talk about that later on. We're going to talk to Savannah Lee at 1:20 because she, shockingly, is actually supporting Patrick Reed in this. We're going to find out why and see if we agree or disagree with her. All of that and more. Going to be a busy show. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. The text line is active at 71307. Start your text at 71307. Start your text with ESPN so we can get it on the air. Quick break. We're back after this. It's Monday. We're busy. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Coming up at 1:20 this afternoon, Savannah Lee from the Brunswick News. She is our PGA Tour insider. She's going to be joining us to talk a little bit about Patrick Reed and what happened at the Farmers Insurance Open. That's going to be at 1:20. And then coming up at 2:20, a special Monday edition of Fight Club. Our buddy Lonzo back there in the Palatial ESPN Upstate Studios is going to walk us through what happened yesterday evening at the Royal Rumble. Spoiler alert, fortunately, I will not have to sit out for 3 to 6 months of that segment when talking WWE. So we'll break that down coming up at 2:20 this afternoon. Two of the big, big segments we got lined up for you today at ESPN. Real quick, got to get back on the clock here. So let's hit a text that came in during the break there. Since we are, by the way, Lonzo, I looked at the calendar today. That's not true. I don't have a physical calendar. I look down at my phone because it tells me what day it is, and that's the only way I can keep up with anything. Zoe, we are less than 2 weeks away from the Daytona 500. Listen to that response. Just the enthusiasm overwhelming me right now.
Yay.
Now,
for the purposes of show, if you would like me to actually watch some of this and try to get into it, I will. I can't promise, but I will try if you would like me to, because I just can't get into NASCAR. I can't.
So here's what I learned about NASCAR, about soccer, about every sport, with the exception of lacrosse, which I tried and it didn't work. And I've had this theory. I've talked about it on the air. I want to give it to you as well and see what you think about my theory here, Lonzo. My theory is this. When it comes to learning a new sport, when it comes to finding a passion or even just a fandom of a new sport, it is imperative that you engage in this new sport with somebody that has a passion for the sport already. Because watching a sport on TV that you are not intimately familiar with will do nothing for you, right? I mean, you might have the best play-by-play and color guy in the business talking about the game, but they are talking to people who already understand, acknowledge, love the sport. They are talking to people who already know what's going on. So if you're watching NASCAR and guys are coming down and out of turn four onto the front straightaway, and you got two guys jockeying for position, one trying to snug in behind the car in front, the other that seems to be trying to hit him in the side, and they just go, oh, he's trying to get the bump draft there. Well, if you don't know what that means, it's not going to do anything for you. Whereas if somebody's actually pointing out, okay, if he gets there, then the air resistance coming off of the front car cuts in half for the guy in the side, which means the guy in the back has half the air resistance, so his engine's going to be able to produce more forward pressure. And once he gets that forward force going, he can bump into the back of the car that's in front breaking the wind and push that car along. He can physically bump that car to go faster. That car picks up speed. Then he breaks more air. The guy in the background picks up more speed, bumps him again, et cetera, et cetera. And now you know why that's happening. And aside the fact, Zoe, that I just twice described a car as breaking wind.
See, you beat me to it. I was going to point out.
I knew you were.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of stood out. And I want you to understand that I understand about drafting. I do it every day on 385. So I definitely am well aware of what that is. And I saw Days of Thunder. So that pretty much describes NASCAR. So now, I mean, watching that movie, I know all there is to know about NASCAR.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So we'll get. I'm gonna get you on the NASCAR train this year, Zoe. I'm gonna get you on the NASCAR train. By the end of this year, ladies and gentlemen, Lonzo will have a favorite driver and a favorite soccer player by the end of 2021. That is my 1 month late resolution, Lonzo.
You have a better shot at the NASCAR than you do the soccer player. But
I don't back away from a challenge, Lonzo. I don't do it. I'm going to get you there. If it means in November we're doing 3 hours of soccer talk a day to get you on board, I'm going to get you there.
Well, I tell you, I'm not going to fight it, but I also wonder, could I fake it? I guess we'll find out.
I don't know. I think you can fake fandom of a team, right? Like, I have faked being a fan of the team, of a team in the past in order to get close to someone, right? Like, oh, yeah, big fan of that team that you happen to be wearing a sweatshirt of here at this bar that we're at, young lady. Of course I am. But I don't think you can fake fandom of an entire sport. I think that's probably a little bit more difficult. You can get away with, oh yeah, I love Tom Brady. I don't think you can get away with, I love the NFL when you really don't, because you're going to start getting questions you will not be able to answer. Just a thought.
I agree with you on one level. I think you cannot fake the fandom of certain sports. But I think there are other sports that if you have enough of a working knowledge that you can get past people and make them think that you know what you're talking about.
844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307. The text that I was responding to and didn't actually do that is ESPN. Hey, Rob, I have an Ask Our question. Do you think the Bristol race on a dirt track is a good idea? Yes. Yes, and I cannot. Not only can I not tell you how excited I am about it, but I am calling this shot now. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know if I will be there as a fan or as a media member. I don't know if I will be covering this race or just there to get down with a couple of Budweisers in a tank top to watch the race on Bristol. I did not get to see my first dirt track race until I moved here to the upstate and started going to the races over at the TR Speedway. But once I got to TR Speedway, once I started seeing dirt track racing, y'all, I'm 100% in. And I think a dirt track top tier level race is a brilliant idea. I think it's going to be great. The excitement of a dirt track, right? The challenge to these drivers having to do something that is different than they have done in a while and have never done with that equipment at that level makes it incredibly interest to me. As a one-off, I'm not saying I want every race to be on dirt. I don't. I want the vast majority of races to be on asphalt like we're used to. But one or two dirt track races a year, just to make these guys kind of dig back to their roots and take that knowledge and capability and put it next to top-tier equipment makes me very excited. My goal is to be at Bristol for the dirt race this year. Fingers crossed and COVID willing. So there's your answer.
I was going to point out, even though I don't know a lot about NASCAR, I thought a lot of these guys started out on dirt tracks locally before they got their break. So I don't think that goes away, that working knowledge of how to run a race on a different kind of surface. But the tires would have to be different, right? So I have some knowledge, will the cars have to be spec'd differently because you're running on dirt?
Yes, they will. And in fact, I'm going to work on getting us we will have an interview, fingers crossed. I've got a contact the week of that race, maybe before. We will actually have a former driver on the air to talk to us a little bit about what these drivers will have to do before they get on dirt.
Isn't this asking for more accidents, though, because you're used to the grab of the tires on the asphalt and you get down there on the dirt and it's different?
But that's Bristol anyway. Bristol is a quarter-mile track. So a quarter-mile track, Lonzo, that's the same size as the track that wraps around your local high school football field. Now imagine 43 stock cars going from about 45 to 50 miles an hour out of the turn, getting up to about 130, 135 on the straightaways, and slamming on the brakes to get back down to 45, 50 miles an hour going back into the turn. And then there are 43 of them, and now they're sliding around on dirt. If you are one of those fans that says, I watch NASCAR for the crashes, Bristol on dirt is going to be an absolute Super Bowl for you. It is going to test every aspect of those drivers' skills, and it's going to be as much demolition derby as race, which is why I say, Lonzo, I like one or two dirt races a year, but I just want one or two because I still want to see who the best racers are, but I don't mind one or two races a year. Let's put them out there, take them back to their roots. We know there's going to be a lot of dents by the end of that race. I'm for it, but as a special one-off, not something we do consistently.
And is this, will this be a draw to get people like myself to watch who normally wouldn't? And is it kind of false, though? If you're watching it, thinking, wow, this is pretty entertaining, then it gets back to the asphalt, and it's not the same thing.
Yeah, and I've thought about that, right? Because I've got a bunch of friends that have said, you know, I don't watch a lot of NASCAR, but I will watch the dirt race just to kind of get an eye on it. And my hope is, okay, they'll watch that, they'll see the entertainment, they'll learn about the sport, and then they'll come back the next week to see how much different an asphalt race is. I know that you'll drop off some, but here's the thing, though. Every NASCAR fan is going to watch Bristol dirt racing. Every NASCAR fan. And a few extra, let's say 100,000. Let's say it's 100,000 fan or potential fans that will watch the dirt race but don't watch ordinarily. If you get 25% of those that decide to tune in the next week, NASCAR can take every fan that it can get. It can take every bit of help on TV it can get right now, which is a big chunk of the reason of why I think they're doing that. We will talk more about that when we circle back around to NASCAR. Now we are 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away from the Daytona 500. And I have just been told that Bristol is a half-mile track. I swore it was a quarter-mile track. But if I am incorrect on that, let's be honest, you won't be shocked. You wouldn't be shocked at all. Let's see. It is a... I'll look it up during the break. I'll find out. I trust you, Texter, but I'll take a look at it. Quick break. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show. Rob Lonzo, you. It's ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you here on a beautiful Upstate Monday afternoon. Thanks for spending your time with us, letting us spend our time with you. So, in the past, I have had an idea of a segment. I've done it once or twice. But I'm thinking about doing it now that we have kind of gotten into this NASCAR talk, a little bit of soccer talk as we begin the next round of friendlies and qualifying for some different CONCACAF tournaments and FIFA tournaments for the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team, etc. I know that NASCAR and soccer are two sports that do have fan bases in the area, but certainly they are not the not even close to the predominant sports, football, basketball, baseball, etc. And one of the things that I have done in the past, I have not done it here yet, though I'm kind of interested in doing it, is kind of a beginner's guide too, right? Like we would actually start taking every now and then some of these sports and activities and tournaments and events that don't necessarily have a ton of knowledge ingrained about them in the local area and kind of do a beginner's guide to these different sports. If we did that, let's say we did a beginner's guide to NASCAR where we legitimately just talked about NASCAR at an intro level. I mean, at the level of somebody who has heard about the sport and not much more. And we got in, say, a former pit crew chief or a former driver or a car engineer, and we really analyzed the sport at its very fundamental base level before a big event like the Daytona 500, etc. You think that would help the sport, or do you think that would hurt the sport because we were kind of being maybe a little bit too elementary on the air?
I don't know. See, I'm interested in that. I think a lot of other people would be too, just to hear about the inner workings and things that maybe if you're just a casual fan or not a fan at all that you didn't notice, and then after learning it, you keep an eye out for it and go, oh, hey, that's what he was talking about. Now I see that. That's cool.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that. I think, in fact, we may even lead off with the Daytona 500, which, by the way, Zoe, as if it wasn't already going to be tough enough to win new converts this year, the Daytona 500 this year, Lonzo, falls on Valentine's Day. So it may be a little more tough to win over a few viewers than it would be in any other year, but I think the week leading up to that, we may very well do like a beginner's guide to NASCAR for anybody who's like interested but have never really been able to get into the sport because they feel like it's over their head a little bit. We'll do kind of a beginner's guide with either a former driver or crew chief or something like that, that we can really get into the basics and see if that helps people out. I think that might be something that works. But we will find out when we get there. 844-GSP-ESP. And by the way, we're going to come to a phone call, GW. Before I do, I did misspeak. I said that Bristol was a quarter-mile track. That is incorrect. It is a half-mile track. It is a 0.5-mile track. But the point stands, you know how short a half mile feels when you're going down 385 at 75 miles an hour. Now, 43 cars going at 130 miles an hour on a half mile. It can get a little dicey. Appreciate the texter that pointed out. GW is on the line to talk a little bit about Bristol. GW, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking a minute. Great to have you, bud.
Great to have y'all on the radio. Love y'all.
Thank you, man.
I was telling Alonzo, a lot of people's not aware of it, but the week prior to NASCAR coming to Bristol to the dirt track, a lot of your Lucas Oil Late Model Series, your World of Outlaw Late Model Series regulars will be at Bristol along with 8 support divisions. And when Bristol opened registration, I think it was back on January the 6th, they opened registration, and in 12 hours and 9 divisions, they had 1,146 cars signed in to want to come race at Bristol, and another 209, I think, on a waiting list to try to be able to race at Bristol.
I got to tell you, man. Zoe, you think we can get away with just doing the show the entire week from Bristol? We may have to go on a remote, GW.
Well, you go ahead. You absolutely could do that. You have the capabilities. You have a piece of equipment that you're using right now. You can go anywhere and do a show.
That's true. I am working from home. I might as well work from the track, GW.
Well, this is not the first time Bristol has done a dirt race. In 2004, I think, or it might have been 01 or 04, they did a dirt race. And we're talking 850 horsepower super late model dirt cars. And the likes of Tony Stewart, the Bill Elliott, the Carl Edwards, Clint Boyer actually owns a super late model dirt team. Kyle Larson just picked up a win in Florida in super late models on dirt at Alltech Speedway. You think NASCAR might put on a show? These guys, it's balls to the wall. I mean, it's going to be fast. They will probably, if not, be 0.2 of a second faster than what the Cup cars run around Bristol on asphalt.
Man, I may have to get over there checking out. GW, appreciate the call, man. Great to have you on the show. Look at the NASCAR people coming out today, man. I love it. 2 weeks away from race day down at Daytona, Florida. We're going to get a lot more NASCAR as we move forward. All right, 844-GSP, ESPN. Quick break back up to wrap number one up on the Rob Brown Show. Rob, Lonzo, and you. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate wrapping up hour number one on the broadcast today. I am Rob. Lonzo back in the palatial ESPN Upstate studios. Thanks for hanging out with us. So the LA Rams get Matt Stafford. The Lions get Jared Goff. And I got to tell you, Lonzo, I really don't know why it was that the Rams gave up on Jared Goff like this. I don't know. And in fact, apparently came as kind of a major surprise to Jared Goff. Apparently neither the GM nor Sean McVay had had any conversation with Matt Stafford. But if the relationship was soured, even if it was on one side, then it's probably good for Goff to get out of there. The only reason I would say that Jared Goff is out of the four parties involved, Stafford, Goff, the Lions, and the Rams, is that I've seen nothing out of Detroit that sways me to believe they're going to do anything different or better for Jared Goff than they did for Matt Stafford. They've had Matt Stafford in there for a decade and some change, and out of the entire time, if I was to say to you that taking Calvin Johnson, Megatron off the table, though, if I asked you to name one other weapon that the Detroit Lions provided for Matt Stafford in a decade and some change, what names would you be able to come up with?
Well, the only one I can think of is Barry Sanders, and he wasn't there.
So, yeah,
I can't think. But you know what? I know we didn't see this coming, but at the same time, you got a brand new coach there. So in order to put hit in what he wants done, maybe it's best to bring in a quarterback who doesn't know the system and all that kind of stuff. Stafford had been there in so long, and he's ingrained in everything that Detroit did. It would be really hard to start something new with him there.
There are teams that I can chalk the problems up to the head coach. And Matt Patricia in Detroit certainly was not a guy that was going to fix that program. And then there are other franchises that it's all about the front office. The New York Jets are in that number. The Detroit Lions are in that number. I don't know that having Jared Goff there is suddenly going to change a front office that has not been willing to build into suddenly doing that. Now, Jared Goff is what, 25, 24? I mean, the guy's young. He's got at least a decade left in him. Will they finally pull the trigger on building a good team? Look, I went back, thought about it last night. The only names that I would have considered top-tier names to come off the top of my head, they brought in Golden Tate for a year, who was at best a wide receiver, a number two receiver on that team. Somebody pointed out on Twitter they brought in Reggie Bush to the Lions. Reggie Bush was 28 years old when he got to the Detroit Lions. Reggie Bush, NFL shelf lives for running backs, they expire at 30. There are very few backs that are able to keep being productive after 30, and none of them are as productive as they were at 22, 23. Reggie Bush was 28, and oh, by the way, with a style of running that makes it even tougher to go on later into your career. The Detroit Lions gave nothing. I've seen people beating up on Matthew Stafford for not cranking out incredible. Oh, he's a one-time Pro Bowler, man. What numbers do you? I'm looking at Matt Stafford's play, and I'm telling you, Stafford dragged teams that with most quarterbacks would have been 2-14, 3-13 teams. He dragged them to 500 seasons. Matt Stafford, if the Lions didn't have Matt Stafford over the years, they would have had plenty of 1-2 win seasons under their belt. Matt Stafford now is in a place with a healthy offensive line, a good offensive line. He's got weapons. He's got a decent running game behind him, a defense that can actually support him. I got to tell you, I think Matt Stafford might be better than Jared Goff was in L.A., and so don't color me shocked if Matt Stafford gets his first two playoff wins with the L.A. Rams next year. He's that much better, and he's going to finally get to show it even at 33. The only loser in this is Jared Goff, who has to go play for the Lions. Everybody else won. Quick break. We'll get deeper into that. Savannah Lee joining us at 1:20 to talk about the Farmers Insurance Open and more on the Rob Brown Show. Rob Lonzo and you on ESPN Upstate.